for joining us today on Her Portion. We hope you leave with plenty to ponder from God's Word. We encourage you to use today's topic to start your own study in the Scriptures. Until next time.
Hey ladies, I'm so excited to kick off this month's topic, brand new, and it's all about marriage this month. In January, we all posted question boxes in our Instagram stories with the topics that you all would like to hear about. And marriage is one that keeps coming up over and over again. Last month, we talked about how we met our spouses. And I'm sorry, I almost forgot to let you know that this is Jackie here. And so I'm starting off this week's podcast episode, like I said, talking all about marriage. But anyways, if you listen to my episode, I talked about how I met my husband while I was at Bible college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So my mom suggested a degree that they offered, which was called Marriage and Motherhood. I got picked on a little bit for deciding on that one, but it was similar to just like an overall degree for women in ministry. If I had to do it all over again, I would still choose that one. I learned so much in those classes. We had to take in-depth courses on cooking, sewing, decorating, fitness even, finance, counseling, Bible classes, marriage and motherhood classes, attitude and appearance, basically teaching you how to take care of yourself inside and out, and then ministry courses, a few education classes, music, the basics with history and English. Basically, it was just a great overall degree for all things like the Proverbs 31 woman and biblical Christian womanhood and advice from Christian women who had been married for many, many, many years and more. There were so many of those ladies that were in ministry also. I had the privilege of watching a more than exceptional marriage through my parents and both sets of my grandparents. We always knew my parents loved each other, and that was such a great gift. I said all of that to say, no matter how much you know, how much you study, and what kind of examples you've had, those are amazing. But a good marriage is hard work. A great marriage is a lot of work. A great marriage isn't necessarily determined by all that you've been given. I'm thankful I've been handed so much, and I have an amazing marriage. But the answer for every marriage is Jesus. It's all His grace. People may get sick of hearing me say that, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. I love the verse that says, every word of God is pure, from Proverbs 30 and verse 5. There's so much about marriage and love in the Bible. There's so much about sex in the Bible. Did I say it? I said out loud, right? But people can symbolize Song of Solomon all day, but this book is most definitely talking about intimacy between spouses. It's great advice for marriage. Every word of God is pure. Just because the world has corrupted the joys of marriage doesn't mean God's people have to fall into the trap of enduring their marriages. There's so much joy to be had in a marriage daily when both spouses are dying to their own flesh. The world teaches us to love ourselves first, and that doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of ourselves, but we should esteem each other above ourselves. Sometimes that means going above and beyond to take care of ourselves so that we can encourage our spouse. But Philippians 2 verses 3 through 4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. My body belongs to God and my husband. Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. 1 Corinthians 7:4 says, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Of course, this is not talking about abuse. You have to say that in the day that we live in is sad. But God commands a husband to love and cherish his wife, just as Jesus gave himself for us. But when both people are seeking to live for God and their spouse, amazing things happen. Okay, so what if you're in a marriage that feels one-sided? What if your spouse never feeds you spiritually or seems to be only living for themselves? Seriously, seek God and encourage yourself in the Lord. When you feel like you're giving your spouse 110%, but he's not giving at all, serve your spouse as unto the Lord and ask God to convict his heart. What if there's adultery involved? Well, the Bible talks about this too, and it's controversial because Jesus said there was a clause for divorce and adultery, but that was because of the hardness of their hearts. They were divorced, that they were divorcing each other. And I'm not condemning anyone here who is listening that may have already gotten a divorce or is contemplating one. But if we go into the mindset, but what if we forgive? Then what if my spouse cheats again, you may ask? Didn't Jesus forgive 70 times 7? What if you forgive and you see God work in your spouse's heart because for the first time, they experience unconditional true love that they've never, ever experienced from another human being? What if they experience Christ's love so much from you? What if they never told you that they were abused physically and sexually by a parent or a loved one and completely distorted their view of intimacy and love? What if that parent told them they never even wanted them? Would you be able to have a little bit more forgiveness with that spouse that committed adultery against you? What if you don't know everything yet about your spouse? What if your spouse lies to you? Can you show Christ's love? Can you still be kind and loving? All of this is tough. Oh, it's tough Christianity. But where a lot of people live in a real life, I talk to people every day that have these situations, and it doesn't matter if you grow up in church or not. People deal with these on a daily basis. Number one, to start enjoying your marriage, let your spouse know that you love them unconditionally. I hope to say that it won't be tested in the hardest way, but if you're going to have a great marriage, more than likely you will be tested above and beyond your own strength. Number two, you got to die to self. Sometimes it's moment by moment. The Apostle Paul said he died daily. And this is not just talking about in a spiritual sense. Some people think this means dying to self means that I'm not going to listen to secular music anymore. Or, okay, this can mean that. But what about crucifying our needs so that we can meet the needs of our spouse? That's dying to self too. That may mean dying to the image of what you think a perfect marriage should look like. And instead, being the spouse God created you to be for each other. I personally believe God put within me the gifts and passions to have an amazing marriage with Christ's help, and you too. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. Number three, ask God to give you something daily from his word that you can use to strengthen your marriage. Like my verse today, I wrote down in my journal from Proverbs 5:18-19. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished always with her love. My husband has been out of town for work and comes home tonight. And so these verses reminded me that I have been blessed. So don't show up stressed when he walks in the door. So I'm just kidding. All you never know, like everything, like all you know what may break loose before he comes home. But it is my goal to be pleasant and ravishing to him when he gets home. When I worked out today, I thought about my spouse. I thought, I want to always have a youthful spirit for my husband, even when the wrinkles take over. And every time I exercise, I think, oh my goodness, I'm getting older and older. My body is just is not handling this like it used to. But number four, be willing to partner with your spouse and carry their cross. I love the passage of scripture in Philippians 4:14, which says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Just maybe God brought you two together because he knew you were both strong enough to carry each other's burdens. You only get one spouse. I want my husband to know that no matter what, he knows he can trust me. He knows he's going to have someone in his corner cheering him on. I want to be his biggest cheerleader. I don't want to get so wrapped up in what I'm trying to do that I don't stop and say, babe, you're doing an amazing job. I appreciate you and all that you do for our family. Number five, pray for each other. The church has been commanded to pray for each other. How much more should we pray for our spouses? Colossians 1, 8 through 9 says, "Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So if we're going to love each other, he says he did not cease praying for them. How many times do you think about your spouse throughout the day and then pray for them and then go a step further and just text them a little bit throughout the day? I'm not talking about burning up their phones while they're at work, but you know, like how much you can text them throughout the day and just let them know you're thinking about them. Number six, you have to deal with hurt. If you are going to enjoy your marriage, I hate to tell you, but you're going to have to forgive. I know it's tough. And it's said all the time, but it doesn't matter who you're married to. You're going to have to get in there and rip all those weeds of bitterness out. You're going to have to forgive. If you go back to Philippians 4, I know you've most likely heard this verse when it comes to giving, like for church and your tithes. But verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." It's in every person the need and desire to want to be loved. Jesus said he would meet your need. Maybe your marriage isn't where you want it. Ask God to restore the joy in your marriage. I'm telling you, he will. He restores broken hearts. He restores broken relationships if you want it. I even ask God to put more love in my husband's heart for me and our family. But in the meantime, be patient. Romans 5, 3 through 5 teaches us that we can glory in tribulations. Tribulation leads you to hope. But with that hope first comes patience, and that gives experience. Some of the hardest times in marriage can lead you to your happiest moments if you'll trust God and give it to him. I promise you it's true. I've seen it firsthand in my own life. As spiritual Christians, we must quit expecting our husbands to be like the preacher or some other spiritual figure made up in our minds. And we must love and restore as Christ does for us. Have fun with them. Stop nagging them and giving them ultimatums and placing expectations on them. When we do this, they don't feel loved unconditionally or respected. I hope these tips were helpful, but most of all, I really, really pray for you. This topic is always heavy on my heart, and I talk to people often that are hurting in their marriage and relationships. Thank you for taking the time to listen. I always love when listeners send me a message on Instagram or share the podcast to your stories. Also, feel free to check out my blog where I write longer devotionals and create Christian jewelry that encourages your heart. My blog is www.jackiemariecarr.com. I hope you have an awesome day and stay tuned for the next episode.
Thank you for joining us today on Her Portion. We hope you leave with plenty to ponder from God's Word. We encourage you to use today's topic to start your own study in the Scriptures. Until next time.